focus, baby, you just focus. Cause they try to bring you down, but they can't, and they know this. That ride is black, is showing. Them drugs you got is potent, got them cheering at my shows in. I say stop, but you keep going. That money that I'm blowing, if you want it, you should show it.
Now everybody trying to hit me up. If you stressed, then turn that ditty up. And just
stay posted. See this girl to notice. Now that baby girl just focus. See you trying to get promoted. Nah. Life short. Yeah, you need to live it to the fullest. I'll show you how to do this. Just don't be so foolish. If you focus, you could do it. Just make sure you're into it. Yeah, just like your crew is chilling, cause we are the coolest. Keep doing your thing. My dream was to be in that range. My attitude's sane, and I won't change. Best of the best, like imported cocaine.
Now everybody trying to hit me up. If you stressed, then turn that ditty up. And just
stay posted. See this girl to notice. Now that baby girl just focus. See you trying to get promoted. Stay posted. See this girl to notice. Now that baby girl just focus. See you trying to get promoted.
Everybody trying to hit me up. If you stressed, then turn that ditty up. And just
focus. Baby, just focus.
Hello, gorgeous. This phone call's probably been recorded. Just know that I did it for the four of us, and those motherfuckers kept ignoring us. After this, I'm going underground. If they come asking, give them the runaround. Hottest Costa Rica in the summer sound. Couple days, then we move it to another town. Yeah, I know them dreams, seems. Just know that time will never come between. Space either. Fate features things that we reject, but connects all us believers. The insurrection's gone viral. They'll never stop it now. I hope it all spirals out of control, like a dam with a hole. From here on out, it's all about survival. The way we left things, they probably think we rivals. But don't be naive, they hate you more than I do. Remember, always speaking opposites. I hate you so much, it's such a compliment. I know that defies the common sense, but we ain't never been right. Honestness, we never fit in school and never did rules. But who'd have thought we turned out bombing shit?
Going to night calls,
just so tired of them fighting our water with fire. He said that we needed something drier to really impress the empire. Funny cause he really hated war, but while we went to war is what he really hated more. Said it's silly how that our schools make us stupid and our jobs make us poor. When he came back from the Corps, it's when he really got serious. Read a lot of books, started acting all mysterious. The VA is what really made him furious. Told him his condition didn't exist, period. That's why he started that petition. Went all the way to Washington, said they didn't listen to a white male Christian. He just laughed when they took our father's pension. He said that you gotta act an opposite. Helps you hide your tracks when you stand up to the dominant. But I knew he felt bad. Told me later was the saddest day he ever had. To see our dad so hopeless, that was the turning point. That's what really gave him focus. I ain't agree with everything. Some of it made sense, but never thought that he would do something like this.
I'm giving you a nice call. Tell you how I feel. I want to drive you through the night, down the hills. I gotta tell you something you don't want to hear. I'm gonna show you where it's dark, but have no fear.
I know you don't watch, but your brother was on TV. Couple guys in black suits came around to see.
Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the show. We were having some technical difficulties a moment ago with Blog Talk Radio. Well, welcome to the show. KDD, are you with us, sir?
Yes, sir, as always.
Okay, we seem to be having a little bit of technical difficulties with not only yourself, but me. Well, welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. We got it all sorted out. Kind of play rolling on. Today's show, as we're a few minutes in the show, should we vote Obama out so big business will start hiring? This is a question that I've been pondering most of this week. This is a question that's kind of haunted me as I've listened to billionaires whining and moaning, sending out apocalyptic messages to their employees about what the future holds if Obama wins. Not only have they been sending out emails and blogs, they haven't come out and tried to tell people who to vote for. But when you pass a comment like, well, if Obama wins, I don't know what is going to happen. When you got people like the Koch brothers who have sent out emails to their 45,000 employees with little suggestions and hints to say, make sure you do the right thing. What exactly does that mean? We have corporations sitting on trillions of dollars and holding on to them and not loosening up the purse strings while the average American suffers. What are your thoughts on this? Hold on. Neighborhood Gentrification Committee, is that you?
You guys are back. What happened?
We never left.
Raggedy equipment.
Huh?
Raggedy equipment.
I didn't hear you, Diddy.
I said raggedy equipment.
Oh, raggedy equipment. Oh. Well, that's BTR for you.
Yeah, yes, it is. Yes, it is, because it wasn't on my end. I was here waiting. I couldn't get KDD in. Then I realized I was on ear silence myself.
Couldn't get
through. Had to refresh the page to get the show started, but we're still here doing our thing. So should we vote Obama out so big business can get back to the business of doing business? What do you good people out there think? David Siegel, another billionaire. Billionaires whining and moaning about if Obama wins, he might have to lay off some of his workforce. Arthur Allen, all these big wigs who have been raking in millions and billions of dollars, even with these serious and tough economic times, these guys have still been all churning out record profits. That's something that they haven't really bothered to tell a lot of you good people out there. Mostly, most of the big corporations are making oodles of money. The stock market is up and up, and yes, it might drop a few points, but I think it's sailing in the 15,000 mark now or something in that region. I'll have to look that up. But corporations are making money. So why are they not hiring? What is the holdup in hiring? They want to holler out about regulation and over-regulation. Under-regulation is how we're in the stupid boat that we're in right now. So how much more under-regulated do you need to be for us good people out here to exist? Just take all the deterrence off you so you can just run willy-nilly. We have seen where that has gotten us. You guys were coming up with financial equations and complex equations that y'all didn't even understand, and that begs the question, how did it make it to the marketplace? How did it come to affect the common person such as myself with complex financial equations that you yourself didn't understand? How did you sell that product? And now you, that same person who wants to turn around and say, I'm overregulated. Maybe you are. I'm a play devil's advocate because personally, I think all the new regulations are still not doing enough. It's like putting a Band-Aid on the back of an elephant. But anyway, that's just my humble opinion. That is my thought. Should we vote Obama out so big businesses can start hiring? I'll throw the first question to K. Diddy. K. Diddy, what do you think, sir?
No, man, because I don't think it's going to matter if you throw him out or not. I think they're going to continue to run their program because that's the way the game was set up from the giddy-up. They already know if they confuse the American people, half of them going to get pissed off and feel like they independent vote's not going to make a difference. So they're not going to vote anyway, and that's what I think they're counting on. Because if you get nobody doing nothing and 10 people doing something, then they're going to get what they want regardless. So I personally don't think it's going to matter either way. It's not. Either way, that's my take on it.
Okay, okay. And I'm going to throw to say, before I go any further, since we were having a bit of radio silence and I thought we were broadcasting, I want to make sure that the song that you heard, the first song you heard at the opening of the show, was a new young artist in World Movement Records named Mr. Drew Raber. I hope I'm pronouncing his name right. He dropped his album this week. That was one of the songs off his album. So make sure you support the young man as he tries to do positive things with his life. Did I pronounce his name right, K. Diddy?
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, over to the ever-controversial Joe from Montana. Joe, what do you think? Should we just vote Obama out?
Get him fuck out. Get him out. He sucks.
Okay.
If Romney came in, he'd be just as bad. But I'm going to – you don't have to play devil's advocate because I disagree with just about everything you say, Tony. I think regulations – should be minimum.
Mm-hmm.
I think that I'm a libertarian, so I believe in the capitalist system to be capitalist so that businesses can flourish and they can compete against one another for the sake of the consumer.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't realize that in terms of regulations, because you were about to allude to derivatives for a second there, because people always refer to, well, the lack of regulations that got us into the mortgage market, the mortgage crisis. And because what you didn't say, what you might have said a little bit later, what a lot of other people say is that, well, if you repeal this, Glass-Steagall Act, that's what caused all of it. Sorry, folks. The Glass-Steagall Act is a very important regulation, yes, because it separates investment banks from commercial banks. But when that got repealed, okay, what happened? Other regulations were in place to try to take care of what did happen, but it didn't work. Regulations didn't work because of the corruption in government working with the corrupt people in corporations. Oh, and you were talking about corporate profits. I have nothing against corporations making profits. But let them make billions of dollars. They didn't rob it from me. But a lot of people think, well, the more money the corporations make, the more they're robbing from the middle class and the more they're exploiting the workers. No.
Let me ask Joe a question. I'm not playing the devil's advocate or none of that crazy stuff. I'm just asking a general question. Being that your choice is neither of the above, so what is the next move? Do you take the better of the lesser, or shall I say the lesser of the evil, or you do nothing?
Well, the lesser of the two evils means that you're putting in one or the other. So that's out.
Well, I mean, that's our choice. It ain't like we got a third choice here.
Yeah, you do. We all do.
Who's
we
the
all
third
have.
Choice?
I mean,
there's Obama and
Roseanne Barr, right.
And the baseball, we got the baseball mitt, and we got Obama. Those are the choices on the table right now. So,
no,
you're not caring for neither one.
No,
okay.
No. We have always had choices. Here's where the people have been brainwashed and deluded. The Democrats and the Republicans are the ones we learn about the most. That's the ones that all the pundits put emphasis on. But if all of us here on the line, if other people who are, the Democrats don't want the Republicans don't want the Democrats. But if we want a government that is going to be the most minimally corrupt government, you cannot have career politicians in there. So
yes,
the choices that we've got, and this is what I've been saying for about 2 years, all we all have to do is vote independent. That's it. Simple. You don't have to go knocking on doors. You don't have to send out flyers. You don't even have to know who you're voting for. Because anybody who's running as an independent, I'm not talking about those jerk-offs in Congress who've switched parties to become an independent. I'm talking about those people who may be school teachers or IT people or anybody else who have never had an office before, but they're running for office now. They know they don't have a snowball's chance of winning, but they're running for office. They are not career politicians. They are either libertarians or the Justice Party or some other third party. We can vote them in. Voting is not a popularity contest. Voting means you vote your conscience. But a lot of people will say, but if I vote for him, I'm wasting my vote. How are you wasting your vote? If you're a Democrat and you think that the Republican's going to win, but you're going to vote Democrat anyway, you're wasting your vote. So if you're going to waste your vote by being a goddamn Democrat, you might as well waste your vote by being an independent and voting in there somebody who's going to make a clean sweep. We got to get rid of the Democrats and the Republicans and put in a brand new bunch of people.
Now, okay, so how do you propose to convince these people that their votes will do some good, regardless of where they place it? I understand that's not the issue, but the fact that they place it somewhere, I think that's the issue.
That's because they're dumb. How? What kind of effort does it take to put in to vote for another person? When you go inside the election, the voting booth, you see Democrats, Republicans, and you see third parties. All you got to do is move your fingers over a half an inch to the third party and vote them in.
I guess what I was saying, just the effort to get there, period, because I think that's where we're going to
That's the whole problem, Diddy. People are brainwashed. I've been talking about this for 2 years. It's so simple. People think it's so simple it doesn't work. So what do they do? They vote the lesser of two evils. They vote in the same asshole that they voted in before. Or they vote in the different party, which, like, for example, Obama has a point. He says, if you vote for the Republicans, you're voting in the same people who got us here. He's right. He's voting in. If you don't vote for Obama, you're voting in Bush people. But if you vote in Obama, You still got Bush and Clinton people. Those are his advisors.
There you go. And that's where I was jumping on, Joe, and I wanted to jump on your bandwagon and say the latter part of your statement I completely agree with. I think for the shock value, because a lot of those, you know, what a lot of people get caught up in is the election for the president.
Mm-hmm.
The president can only go 2 terms maximum. What we need to do is shake up, like you said, the career politicians, the 6 and 7 term senators and congressmen.
You got it
right.
Damn right.
That have been up there for like 25, 30, 30 something years, 40 years. Those are the real movers and shakers that affect us. You know, a president is going to affect us for 8 years, then he's out at the most, or 4 and we vote his ass out. It's these congressmen, it is these senators that have been sitting up there with their pompous asses for all these years. Now, the next part, I want to go back to the beginning of your comment when you say about minimal regulation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the minimal regulations. We already have.
Corporations and people are driven by greed. This
right.
is a proven fact.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot see just completely letting them do what they want to do, because we have seen the end results of that, where rivers are completely polluted and everything in it is dead. That's the water we got to drink.
Right.
We can't, or the air is so polluted that people are developing cancers and such. So in theory, one would say, yes, I do believe in a small government. To an extent, I completely agree. We are completely overly regulated on the wrong thing, and we're too reactionary. Every time a little problem comes up, you know what I mean, we just want to hammer it and throw down regulations on it, and then the great big dinosaur raises up
mm-hmm.
and stumps over to the problem and collapses on it. While we should have taken actions prior to the problem coming along, because the good folks in charge or the smart people who are making these decisions had some idea of what was going to come at the end of some of the decisions that they made. But they were only concerned with the moment. So sort of like a coal company or a steel manufacturing plant, we can't just have them spewing friggin' chemicals all into the fucking rivers as they see fit. We can't have them building friggin' waste sites that pollute the water and shit we drink.
You want to say any more?
Oh, yeah.
You want to add any more to that statement?
Oh, yeah. Do you know what?
Go ahead.
Number one, this is what I read. Who knows if it's true? That the most polluted areas are the ones in which the corporations are in bed with government. In other words, the government allows it because of the exemptions that they give them. Corporations.
Thank you very much.
Huh?
I'm agreeing with that. Go right ahead, sir.
And the corporations who don't get the exemptions, who don't have the lobbyist power, what do? They still have to produce the goods, which, of course, pollute the rivers and the streams and the ground. But they do it minimally because they got to live there. If they keep on polluting that particular environment, they're going to pollute up the workers. Now, in terms of regulations, we have – do you know, somebody said the other day, and I don't know if I heard properly or not, I think he said we have 6 million laws on the books.
I believe that bull's crap. I would.
But you know something?
Laws that don't even make no sense.
No, it doesn't. That gives the cops control. It gives the FBI control. It gives the CIA control. It doesn't give us control. The thing is that we have the simple laws. Do not slander. Do not kill. Do not rob. Do not trespass. If those corporations are polluting to a degree where it's harming people, we have lawsuits. We can do that. What we do have in this country is a corrupt judicial system, which if we didn't have that, we would have, well, less pollution. But let's face it again, guys, okay? We are at where we're at in terms of our technological advancements and our lifestyle because of pollution. Because pollution is a byproduct of manufacturing. We wouldn't have had our computers, our iPhones, our cars, our airplanes, our boats, our nuclear submarines to protect us, our telephones, our TVs, our radios without pollution. So the good question there would be, what do you want to have? Do you want to go back to an 1890s lifestyle, or would you rather advance and try to, pick up the pollution? But here's the thing.
Now that question you could ask somebody, because philosophically we could, go back and forth on that all day and all night long. But the key word here becomes a balance between innovation, a balance between moving forward into the future with things that we need, but also recognizing the value of human life. Mm-hmm. Because as we're sitting here, and I'm assuming we're all fairly healthy on this panel,
mm-hmm.
pose that same question to the young lady or the father who lived in a community for X amount of years, and because of the garbage plant or the coal plant or whatever it is, they have a high cancer rate in their little town. They would be like, hell no, screw innovation. We got a whole friggin' town over here that got cancers we didn't even know exist. So corporations as a whole, like nobody, like you said, and I want to make this clear, I don't have no problem with a corporation making their money. They deserve to make that money. They innovated, they bought, they stole, whatever it is they did to make their money, that's their business. I ain't knocking nobody hustle. Because
mm-hmm.
truth be told, give me my chance, I'm going to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality of it is that, as you said so eloquently earlier, when mm-hmm. they become too embedded with the local government, it becomes a disastrous equation.
Yep.
It becomes a disastrous equation because greed begets more greed. And if I am making more money and more money, suddenly the cost of human life, the cost of the environment, the cost of whatever doesn't concern me, because when all is said and done, I can board my G4 and head on over to where my villa is with my bank accounts.
Mm-hmm.
But the cost, and at the end of the day, when that happens, who does it fall back on? When that storage lake that you've been storing hydrochloric acid in, chemicals that I can't even pronounce, titanium dinoxide 5 or whatever, sits in this lake for 20, 30 years, and your corporation says, you know what, we're not turning a profit at that plant. Shut it down. It still falls back on us, the little people, the tax-paying Americans, who are going to have to then fund a new corporation to come in and clean that mess up.
Yeah. And you're talking about balance, and there should have been. In my particular world, I would have a section in America, like a big zoning section for everybody's manufacturing, so that particular environment, if it gets fucked up, is that environment. And maybe we can concentrate on fixing it. Also, let me return the favor for K. Diddy. When K. Diddy informed me of the desalinization plants, there is a solution to pollution, but it's like the salinization. I found out the other day that there is an industry in which you can bring your garbage. They will break it down through atomic plasma into hydrogen and molten glass. So that hydrogen can be used for whatever purposes, for, I guess, making water, because H2O, or it can be used to power cars. They have a few of these particular plants around the country. That's one way of recycling. I don't recommend it, but it's one way of recycling. And the reason why I don't recommend it is because it just breaks it down to its molecular structure of hydrogen and something else, and if you keep doing that for a number of years, you're going to run out of iron ore, bauxite, aluminum, everything, But it's better. No, I don't know if it's better. But
so, there's an old proverb, Joe, that says everything
I'm still back to the desalination, man, because it's unlimited ocean water right now.
Yeah, you clued me into the desalination plants. What were you saying, Tony?
Everything in life is a double-edged sword. So a system of checks and balances is required to some measure and to some extent. Not to be, like in some countries where it's stifled under some communist or socialist regime, you know, all these people that are screaming out Obama is a socialist. Please, don't insult my damn intelligence. You know, people really need to truly go out and understand what socialism is. But anyway, that's a topic for another time. Innovation has to be encouraged because as a race, as a society, as a people on this planet, it is innovation that fuels advances in our world. But we have got to somehow maintain some measure, some kind of structure in dealing with that. So that brings us back to the corporation and them singing the blues right now about, you know, like I said, David Siegel, Arthur Allen, the Koch brothers, all these people that are, you know, sending their little messages out to their little eons and minions about if Obama still is in office in 2000, whatever we're in, till 2016. But it is twiddle-dee and twiddle-dum as far as I'm concerned.
Yep.
Because right now, the income disparity in this country is so wide. So wide, and this is not hating on, you know, let me speak the way I talk. Ain't nobody hating on the Koch brothers. Ain't nobody hating on Mr. Siegel, Mr. Allen, Warren Buffett, Bill Gates, anybody that are enjoying the fruits of their labor, whatever that labor is, whether you just come in and, you know, like people are making a big deal about Mitt Romney and Bain Capital, you know, bought up businesses and then, you know, broke the businesses down, then sold them. I'm not even mad at that because Mitt Romney wasn't doing anything new. That kind of corporate shenanigans can happen for years. You buy a business, you downsize it, you get the profit margin up, you sell it for a profit. That has been going on for ages. So Mitt Romney is not a criminal for doing that. You can't make him a villain for that.
And when you finish, I want to respond to that when you finish.
Yeah, you know, if you want to vilify something, vilify telling me that you're going to give somebody else a $250,000 tax break or even $100,000 tax break, but you're going to tell somebody of a lesser income, oh, by the way, we're going to cut your child tax credit and stuff of that nature that people depend on, which benefits the economy. When people get their income tax refund, most people go and spend. Very few people save their income tax refund. They go out and buy the TV that they've wanted for the last year, or pay down on the car, or pay off a credit card, or buy the kids clothes, or send their son that's on lockdown some money, whatever it is, so that money circulates. That is where I can vilify you. Now, Joe, you say you wanted to respond. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I want to get to Romney in a second, but then you're talking about the people getting their refunds and they spend it. Sure, but then how come people criticize the corporations when they save money by not paying taxes, and that money can go to buy plants and equipment and machinery? How come people vilify the corporations?
Do the corporations do that when you give your CEO of a business everybody else, say the business is going under, but the CEO gets a golden parachute to cash out for $100 million?
Well, that's what they've arranged. It's the board of directors who gave it to him. They shouldn't have given it to him. Besides that, yeah, I know about the income disparity, and I'll get to that, too. To me, that's a fallacious argument, and I'll get to that in a second. But when getting back to Romney's business, he was a turnaround specialist. He would go into companies that were already going bankrupt, and he would try to revive them. If he couldn't revive them, then he divested them of their assets. Then he sold them off to make a profit. But without people like him, companies just go under, period.
Yes, sir.
So
before you start using big words again, man, tell everybody to get a dictionary out.
For a divestiture? Okay, it means they split up the assets. So, and now the income disparity. I don't care if 90% of the people are making $1 million a year, just as long as I'm making enough money to put me in a comfortable neighborhood and I got what I need.
Yes, sir.
A lot of people say, well, look at that. The disparity between the rich and the poor is like, the rich make 5 times as much as the poor. Who cares? I don't care if they make 10 times as much. if I'm getting enough money to give me a two-car garage, get me a nice neighborhood, I don't care what the other people are making.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the reason why people are making a big deal about it is because the economy in general sucks.
Yes, sir.
And the reason, why it sucks is government. Government. Rules, regulations, taxes.
No.
That's why Apple went over to China.
No, sir. To
no,
extent,
okay.
I will say, I will agree with, I beg to defer, my
sure.
esteemed colleague. I beg to defer by saying that, yes, to an extent or to even a significant extent, you are absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
The reason the economy sucks is because of horrible decisions that were made on Wall Street.
No, that, no. Why?
That the shitter, that the chickens came home to roost, and government, as I agreed to an extent,
mm-hmm.
played a big part in the shit happening. Yes, they did, sir, but it's not because of them entirely. It is a combination of both of those parasitic entities.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you. I mean, yeah, I mean, they're in bed together, but if the government was as benign as people think it is, then corporations wouldn't do what they can do. They wouldn't be able to bribe the government through their lobbyists. You cannot bribe an honest man. Government has the power. Government can say no, and then that leaves the corporations to do their own thing. Now, of course, corporations are fueled by greed, but in a capitalist society, if Company A is greedy and Company B is greedy, they both compete against each other for the other greedy people who are us, the consumers. So
yes,
when they
sir.
Compete against each other for us, they have to lower prices and make their products better. Otherwise, we go to Company C. But if government was as benign again, if they were as munificent, if they were as caring about us as they say, corporations wouldn't be able to do what they would be doing.
And they can take their lives and shovel it down. In fact, I'm not going to cuss. I'm trying to keep it.
They don't care about y'all because y'all don't care about yourself.
And gentlemen, could we refrain from calling people morons and idiots today?
We refuse. We have our constitutional
right.
You
got that right. Please look. Anytime you have an election, and 95% of the people are going to vote for Democrats or Republicans, and then when you ask them, well, what's the problem with America today? Well, yeah, corporations, and yeah, the government. Well, who are you voting for? I'm voting for a Democrat. But weren't they also the ones who voted in with the Republicans last time this bill that are, you know, making your son go to war? Oh, yeah, but, yeah.
There you go, Joe. And not only that, some smart person in some smart institution just did a survey where they were doing a mock election.
Mm-hmm.
And they just put up pictures of people just to ask people, who would you vote for? They said 88% of the people just voted based upon the way somebody looked and how good their suit looked, or if
mm-hmm.
they looked, not that they were, if they looked more competent than the other person.
That's right.
Which further led me to go and do more research, good people out there, because I'm a simpleton. So a simpleton like myself was not aware that politicians, lobbyists, and such hire consultants about positioning people in photos and what color that they're going to wear because it has a psychological effect
mm-hmm.
on us folks out here.
I don't know if you realize what you just did. You just told me what my next career is going to be.
Public relations?
I'm going to be in politics.
Yeah, well, why not? You got a PhD in
yes,
poll research.
Well, Tony just said he just listed all the qualifications, so I should be able to go win hands down.
Well, I figured
even
you'd
when
be in public
giving
relations.
A speech, even when they're giving a speech and cameras are around, they pick and they choose who is going to be sitting in certain camera
angles.
Oh, yeah,
right.
And a simpleton, once again, such as myself, did not know that they give so much thought and concern into what I see. I would much rather them be concerned about my health and well-being.
Yeah, but
No, I got to be concerned about a product placement, man. I ain't caring about what you're talking about.
Yeah, I gotta know how deep that plunging neckline is.
It's all about product placement, and it's all about how much I could charge to have you have your stuff in that shop.
It is absolutely amazing to me, ladies and gentlemen. And when I heard this thing, I had to sit and look at it and say, and they even showed you, they just showed people's pictures.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
They just put, would you vote for this person or this person, that person? And they kept doing it over and over again, over and over again. A lot of people say they do not vote based upon facts and research. They vote based upon visuals. They vote based upon what they perceive in the moment.
Which again, even though you don't want to, you know, curse out your listeners for being freaking stupid people, just like all of America are dumbass morons. But if people are going to be influenced by that as opposed to the facts, then what are they? They're morons. They don't do the research. As a matter of fact, last election before Obama got elected, I think it was Jay Leno or somebody else, they went around. And they asked, and they, when Obama was run up against McCain, they took the policies of McCain, and they asked the Obama supporters, well, Obama is voting, Obama's policy is such and such and such. And when actually it was McCain's policy, and then they would say, what do you feel about this? Oh, I like it. But you're an Obama supporter. Yes, I am. Oh, okay. They don't know what they're doing.
No. No, sheep and shepherd. Sheep and blasted shepherd.
You got that right. Now, when I say stupid, I'm not being funny. I'm not being facetious. I am saying people are politically goddamn stupid. So they keep on complaining, but they keep voting in the same two parties every 2 years, every 2 years, every 4 years. That is stupidity.
And that is, and Joe, my esteemed colleague, and Kate Diddy, they say that the definition of insanity is what? Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result.
Yeah, and Einstein was probably being politically correct. He probably meant stupidity as opposed to insanity, because he was just being nice. But that's the same thing. Because I absolutely believe that abject stupidity is a pathology. I'm not talking about normal stupidity. I'm talking about abject stupidity. That is insanity. That's a pathology.
Now, I'm going to switch gears a little bit.
Oh, relationships?
You know,
okay.
Oh, no. Well, yes, technically it is relationships.
Okay.
But, you know, we're going to talk about this. Let me pause. Make sure we give the sponsors of the show their shout out, www.worldmovement.com, the official sponsors of the show. Make sure you check out their new artist, Mr. Drew Raber, dropped his album this week. Get it on iTunes. Help World Movement do its thing. They've been carrying the torch for this show for a very long time. So big ups to the good folks at www.worldmovement.com, www.worldmovementrecords.com. .name.com. Is that it, K. Diddy?
That's it. And yay!
Yeah, yeah, Lamont!
Make sure you get out there and support the new artist. He's a young man trying to do positive things, and he's very talented. Check him out, YouTube, everywhere you go, Mr. Drew Raber. Make sure you go out and support the new world.
Somebody told me he was going to put Vegas on the map.
Okay, there you go. Also, while you're doing the world movement thing, make sure you support the entirety of the scope. You know, the books are out there.
Can I plug my...
No, you cannot plug your phone.
Come on, let me plug my number. Come on.
You cannot plug. We're trying to be sincere.
Oh,
and
God damn it.
You know? Go ahead. Just go ahead and plug it.
1 800. All of you Americans, blow me.
There you go. That is Joe's personal number for all of his fans out there. We're going to talk about the Defense of Marriage Act. Just got shot down again in the Second Appeals Court. And this is a piece of legislation that I hate any kind of ideology where you constantly think you're right and everybody else is wrong and you're trying to shove it down people's throats. The Defense of Marriage Act basically is that everybody gets the same rights. Now, not that they don't, that marriage is a union between man and woman. The Defense of Marriage Act. And Republicans have been shelling out, by the way, taxpaying dollars and private funds to push this act. Whether or not you like it, if you're homophobic or not, being gay is at a much wider scope than it was 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 10 years ago. You have people out there who want to engage in a committed relationship to each other, and far be it for any of us to judge. Whether or not I like it or I don't, if you don't bring it to me, it is not my problem. I believe two responsible adults who are in charge of their own life should be able to live their life as they see fit. Oh, Puritans, oh, hypocrites who get head jobs from hoes behind closed doors, what are you pushing this act for? What is the big deal about the Defense of Marriage Act that you're carrying it, just pushing it and pushing it? It has been deemed unconstitutional. It has been deemed unconstitutional. Why do you keep trying to carry this damn water bucket up the hill? If somebody is married to somebody, if this is their life partner to this person that they're committed, and they want to ensure that this person can get health care coverage and get certain benefits when they're gone, what is the problem with that? Hold on. I think I have somebody else trying to join me here. 111, welcome to the show.
Yeah, hey, what's happening, gentlemen? Is it just one of you or two of you guys are hosting the show today?
Oh, we're all here.
Where the fuck
okay,
have you been?
Yeah, just a couple of observations. You know, the gay rights, first of all, is it's going to prevail based on our existing laws and I guess where we have come vis-a-vis civil rights. But make no mistake about it, passing gay laws is the expression of white power because it is mainly whites that are pushing for this. Remember, minorities, and particularly blacks, couldn't get their rights as regular citizens. And, you know, obviously we live in a pluralistic society. And let me just say this. I think that actually gays being able to marry will help marriage, and I tell you why. Because men are getting ripped a new butthole in court. They will not treat gay men and women that way. And so what heterosexual men can do is actually under the doctrine of fairness and equity, they can appeal to the way gays are treated. They're not going to treat, if you guys understand what I'm saying, and I'm being, you know, as direct as I can, they will not abuse gays in court the way they have done heterosexual men. Do you follow that?
Oh, I understand.
You don't think the gay men gonna fall out and start fainting and shit, or is it because you have a lot of gay men that's in those influential positions?
Exactly, because they have power. In fact, they see gays are getting something. There's no society ever that has continued to exist that has promoted homosexuality. That is antithetical to, I think, what we would call a normative society. However, again, from the standpoint we live in a pluralistic society, I understand gay rights, but let's make no mistake about it. It's based on their power as whites If whites weren't pushing gay rights, that shit would never get off the ground. Trust me.
True that.
But see, no
one. I guess it's safe to say you're not Catholic.
not Roman Catholic. Catholic just means general, but not Roman Catholic. But you know, this thing, and the reason the gay rights will win is there's a court case. First of all, the Constitution does not define marriage as between a man and a woman. And number two, there was a case called Lovings versus Virginia, where there actually was a man and a woman. And you notice usually the Bible thumpers, the religious right, and the so-called conservatives will come out and say, well, marriage should be between a man and a woman, right? That's usually their argument.
Yes,
God
sir.
Made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, right?
Yes, yep. Sir.
Okay, I just want to set it up so I can knock it down. Well, let the facts knock it down. But see, what they're going to argue, and rightly so, is that seminal case, and I encourage you guys to read that, Virginia versus Lovings. Lovings was a white man, and his wife was a woman of color. And they kicked them out of the state, broke in their house at 12 o'clock at night, and told them if they didn't get out and stay out for something like, you know, years, they were going to throw them in prison. So you see the contradiction? Even though they say it's between a man and a woman, we have a historical court case who denied marriage between a man and a woman. So what they're going to argue is the argument against gays getting married and the argument that marriage is only between a man and a woman when we have the precedent of our Lovings versus Virginia, is that argument is capricious and unreasonable. It's capricious, arbitrary, and unreasonable. Do you follow?
Well, that depends if they're going to bring in the aspect of miscegenation or not.
What's up, Joe?
Rich, I said, where the fuck have you been?
Oh, man, I've been looking for you. I said, well, once I get on this show, I'm sure Joe will come up. But go ahead with your point. I want to hear it.
Well, yeah, I mean, it will be used as a precedent, but then the person who's going to be arguing either for it or against it, depending upon what their philosophy is, they're going to say, but, Your Honor, back in the time, there was miscegenation. That's why the white male and the black female was run out of town. So that'll make the case interesting.
No, you mean anti-miscegenation. But the point is that the argument that it's between – that case is good enough, Joe, by the way. That case is a precedent. And
yeah,
when they make the argument that marriage is between a man and a woman, first of all, those laws were wrong. They were based on greed and profit motive to enslave one person to steal their labor. So that's understood as being inherently unjust. So you move to the issue of – It is a man and a woman. We got a man and a woman. It just happens to be a man and a woman of color. So I think that's a perfect basis to argue, and I think they will. In fact, I know the gays will, to argue that that is arbitrary, capricious, and unreasonable to deny gays marriage. And also, did you hear the point that the Constitution does not specify marriage between a male and a female?
No, I was here all the time. You didn't hear me when you came on. And I said, Rich, where the fuck have you been? You didn't hear me.
I'm sorry. I didn't hear
no
you.
No problem.
And what about that point? The Constitution doesn't specify. It doesn't define marriage as between a man and a woman.
Right.
It comes back to what you were saying earlier, that is the religious right and the conservative that keeps pushing this water bucket up the hill because the legality of it can be questioned at any point.
Right, but what do you think additionally about the point, and I track the issue between gays, I've tracked their wins, and they're very good, they're powerful, they have money. You know, power is the ability to push beyond opposition. And, of course, like I say, in court, you notice in custody battles and even in what you call potential alimony battles, they don't treat gay people the same way they treat especially heterosexual men. Heterosexual men get the shaft in court.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Without a shadow.
I can testify to that.
Yes, sir. Now, we're down to the last 2 minutes of the show, and I want to make sure, and Mr. Solutions, I want to thank you as always. You always bring a wealth of knowledge to the show that we greatly appreciate. I want to make sure I mention this young man, because for all you good folks out there who love to talk about the post-Obama era and all this other crap, the world that we live in, you cannot observe it through rose-colored glasses. Today is the birthday of George J. Stinney, Jr. I want you good folks who listen to me to remember that name, because most of you have never heard that name. He is the youngest person ever executed in the United States of America. He was a 14-year-old black teenager falsely convicted of the rape of two white girls based solely on the fact that he said he saw them go by his house early in the day. The injustices of a society where nobody stands up for anybody sends us over a cliff. Remember that name. He would have been 83 years old today. He was so small that they had to stack books under him for him to fit into the electric chair when they sent electrodes through him. And they coerced the confession out of him without any legal representation or his parents being present. And they kept him so long, and he was so hungry, he said whatever it is they wanted him to say. 14 years old, in the state of South Carolina, executed for a crime that he did not commit. We all have rights, whatever those rights may be. We do not live in a perfect society, and I hate a society that bases too much upon ideological beliefs. Catch us next Sunday and kind of play a play where who knows what we're going to talk about. Happy birthday, George Jr. God bless
right.
your life.
Now I'm just going to say, Joe, I'm still waiting for you to hit me up.
Well, I can talk to you now. You wanted me to okay. Why don't Tony put you and me inside the screening room, and you and I can talk.
Well, go ahead. There you go.
Oh, okay. So we're
over. You both of you are in the screening room. For all you good folks that keep supporting this show, I love you both. I love you all. Don't forget to support the Playology movement and follow your boy on Twitter at Selassie's Son. That is S-E-L-A-S-S-I-E-S-O-N.
Thank you very much for coming out this evening. Thank you. Get fucked too kind. Hold your applause. This is your song, not mine. Thank you. Please hold your applause. For I just applied logic. Keys open doors. Now I'm balcony. Opera. Black tux binocular. Black love. Stop it. I shouldn't be so popular. Name keep popping up. Face keep popping up. On the tube. I'm just watching Pacquiao box them up. How would I know HBO would get a shot of us? Sitting so close that we almost got snot on us. Please don't bow in my presence. How am I a legend? I just got 10 number one albums. Maybe now 11. More hits than an hour 11. That is no reason to treat me like I'm somehow from out of heaven. Heaven knows that I've made my mistakes. That God, what a guy, as I say my grace. Who would have thought by making birds migrate? For the winter, I'll be fly all summer, might I say. Thank you. You're fucked too kind. Hold your applause. This is your song, not mine. Thank you. No favors, I'll handle mine. Hold me, baby. We are really high tonight. We tip the waiter $100 to keep the ice cold, right? We the last ones to keep the wise guys cold alive. If I can't live by my word, then I'd much rather die. No, don't thank me, it's just how my suit is stitched. I'm cut from a different cloth, I'm just who the shoe fits. Put a color for money like a Tom Cruise list. If I put 8 balls in corners without using pool sticks.
beautiful music when champagne flutes click and